Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hey, friends, and welcome back. I'm so glad to be back with you. Listen, if you've been following along, you know that ever since January, we have been challenging you to adopt 52 habits for healthy parenting, habits for healthy families. And if you missed the habit last week, the habit is going on vacation. And that is exactly what I did with my family, spending some time together with my kids. I had two kids home from college and my kids out of high school that were out, and we were all together, and I'm just cherishing those moments. And listen, there are different times and different seasons for different kinds of vacation. There are seasons where you have budget. There are seasons where you don't. There are seasons where you can go far. There are seasons where you have a staycation. But whatever you do, you need to spend intentional time with your family. So I encourage you to think about that this summer. What is time that you can be together as a family having fun? Whether that's camping in the backyard or taking a big adventure, whatever it is, your kids want your time more than anything. I promise. They want you to spend time listening to them with your face, even when it doesn't seem like that. They want your time more than they want any fancy Instagrammable vacation, I promise you. And so it's been so good to be back with you. If you listened to the program last week, you got to hear some of our best of episodes, some of our favorite episodes that have just been really instrumental and impactful to listeners everywhere. And we've got a great show for you today. I have a couple of announcements first. First of all, I want to tell you about something that is available to you at AFA. AFA's vision, of course, is to be a leading organization for biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. And one way they are implementing that is through their video series, AFA at Home. Now, this video series is produced by the American Family Association, and it's hosted by Walker Wildman, and it addresses cultural and spiritual issues facing America from the perspective of leading Christian voices. They talk about things like evangelism and discipleship and marriage and family, morality, sanctity of human life, stewardship, and religious liberty, to name a few. In June, they will be releasing episode 5, and in that episode, they are addressing gender and sexuality. They're talking about LGBTQ plus issues from a biblical perspective. And you can, that starts this week, actually, Thursday, June 6th, 6 p.m. You can watch the trailer by creating a free account at stream.afa.net. And by creating a free streaming account now, you will have immediate access to that full episode on the evening of Thursday, June 6th. So wanted to make sure that you are aware of that. Now, today we've got a great guest. This is a little blast from my past, which I'm excited about. We've got Micah Mariano today. He is a pastor from West Texas. He is one of the founding pastors at the 456 Church in San Angelo, Texas, and he currently serves as the lead pastor of worship and ministries. He serves with a ministry called Eagles Wings Disc Golf. Yes, that's actually a ministry. Oh, some of you, your ears just perked up and thought, oh, I could volunteer for that, for disc golf. And he does chapel services on the Disc Golf Pro Tour. Now, for those of you who have been listening to me for any number of episodes here, you know that I am a big fan of summer camps. I have served as a summer camp nurse with my producer, Stephanie, when she was a children's minister. We have had many an adventure on a golf cart, so much so that we finally decided we needed like a little siren, you know, for the golf cart for those emergencies. No, we were just having fun driving through the woods. But I love when kids go to camp. They need it. They need that experience to have a safe place where they can explore, where they can do things that are outside. They can do things that are active. This is so important. Listen, I was actually taking care of a little girl at camp, and she had hit her head. And so I was making sure that everything was okay. And she was having trouble recognizing her shapes. And then she couldn't recognize a triangle, but I drew a square and she said, oh, TV. And I thought, here is our problem. Kids need some screen-free adventure time. And Micah was the camp pastor at one of the camps that I served at as a nurse. And I'm just thrilled to have him on the show. Micah, welcome. And my first question to you is, how do we do pyrotechnic tricks on the radio? Like, we've got to figure out a way to make that happen.
I guess that was the year you were at camp when I did fire.
That's right. Exactly. And that's what I remember. I feel like my kids are saying, hey, oh, Micah, the fire guy. That's amazing.
That's awesome.
Well, welcome, Micah. I know that you're joining us today from a camp where you're serving this week. But let's start off. Just tell us a little bit about your life story, about your testimony, and how you got involved in ministry.
Yeah, absolutely. I was born in Texas. My dad's from the Philippines, and my mom is white. And being in West Texas, nobody knows what that is. So everybody just assumes I'm Hispanic, which is an awkward part of living in West Texas because I can't speak Spanish.
But my dad is awkward.
Yeah, anytime I go to a Mexican food restaurant, they'll speak Spanish to me, and I'll have to say, lo siento, no hablo español, and then they'll treat me like I'm worthless because I don't know their language. Anyway, so... But my dad's a pastor. My dad came to the U.S. as an exchange student in the late 70s, stayed with a family that loved Jesus. They led him to the Lord. And he moved back to the United States after college in the Philippines, met my mom. They got married and then got involved in ministry in North Texas, followed a guy to San Angelo, Texas, to do some ministry at a church that my dad is still serving at. My dad's been the pastor there since mid-90s. So had an incredible family growing up, godly parents who loved Jesus. And then at 16, felt like God was calling me to ministry, was part of a worship band around that time. And that turned into, in college, we began traveling, doing retreats and camps and conferences. And that's kind of how I got to the place where I do what I do now on the road, still speaking and leading worship at camps and retreats and conferences. So that's been... the majority of my ministry, and then about 15 years ago, planted a church with a close friend of mine in San Angelo called the 456 Church. So those are the two main things I do now. And then also, which we can talk about later, a few years ago, got involved in a disc golf ministry. So it's been a whirlwind, but lots of fun.
Yeah, I definitely want to go back and talk about that. I can already feel like my husband is texting me saying, ask more questions about that. I want to know about that. And it's so great to hear about you planning a church. I'm guessing you don't preach in Spanish. Like, we've already established that.
I do not. Sadly.
Okay, but that's okay.
I wish I could.
Well, you know, Micah, this week marks the beginning of summer camp season. And actually, my son went off to camp today. He went off and I think that this is something that some parents have some hesitancies about. They're a little afraid. They want to make sure it's safe. And you know what I see, Micah, for me, from my perspective as a pediatric nurse practitioner, is we're talking a lot about this rising phenomenon of separation anxiety that we usually see in toddlers, but we're seeing it now in kids, especially after COVID when they were home and then they're on their screens. They're like terrified to get out behind their screens and to interact with real live people. And they may tell their parents, you know, I don't really want to go. No, I'd rather just stay home. I'd rather interact. What would you say to parents out there whose kids are kind of resistant, who are saying, I don't really want to go? Or maybe the parents are a little resistant thinking, I don't really know about this. What do you see as the benefits of summer camp for kids?
Sure. Yeah. Just from a practical, like in a physical level, I mean, it's an incredible environment where your kids are, I mean, as safe as you can get in this kind of environment. I'm not sure I'm ever going to say safe when you're, you know, in the woods,
right?
You know, doing ropes course and stuff like that. But I think that's probably where, I mean, just being blunt, parents need to get over that. Like kids need to be allowed to be kids, to scrape their knees and be outside. But camp's such a great environment because you're kind of secluded. And so you're allowed to be outside. There's no screens. I mean, minus us watching a screen that has lyrics during worship, there's no screens. And so they're like, I'm sitting in a room watching right now, kids run by, like they're all so happy. And they're maybe in spite of camp food, everything else, they're happy about it. You know, they're outside and getting to play. And it's a really incredible environment. I think the great thing too, is like, if you're sending them to a good church camp is if you trust the people you're sending them with, there's really nothing to be worried about. It's, it's an incredible environment, as safe as you can get. And it's from a physical standpoint and a spiritual standpoint. I think it's incredible because you're in an environment where you're forced to be surrounded by Jesus for a week. And that's all you get is you get Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And I think that sometimes, we miss that opportunity as parents to just put our kids in an environment where they're just surrounded by the gospel consistently. So it's a great environment at camp.
I agree. And, you know, I think it's actually safer to be on a ropes course than to be on a screen and social media. And I think about the risks that kids encounter there. It's dangerous, Micah. I mean, we're talking about strangers. We're talking about crazy things like sextortion and now nudifying apps and cyberbullying and all of these things. I mean, I think like they do better to take their chances out in the woods, you know, looking at those those dangers comparatively speaking. And I think it's really good for kids to get active. You know, I think about one of the camps I served where actually you were the pastor, and I had a kid who came in and just was not feeling very good, was clearly not used to being outside. And I asked him, I said, what do you usually do at home during the summer? And he said, well, I play video games. And I said, okay, well, what do you do when you're not playing video games? And he said, I text my friends about video games. And I said, okay, well, what do you do when you're not texting your friends about video games? I'm looking up video games online. I'm like, okay, we need a life without video games. There's a big world out there. But you know, when they come to you, Micah, I'm sure it's a big responsibility for you. I mean, you're shepherding their heart. And you've got kids, you know, you do kids camps where there's kids like ages 9 to 12 and student camps between 13 and 18. That's a wide range. What are you being asked to talk about? What is your heart? What is your message for kids today?
Yeah, sure. I mean, there's a varying group of topics I'm usually asked to talk about. I think the one thing that's consistent that I always try to do is point the kids towards Jesus. Something that hit me years ago was a little bit of a shift for me and my like biblical viewpoint was recognizing how much the Bible is actually about Jesus. And even things like kids' stories, where I used to think Noah's Ark was just about this story about this guy who got saved from a flood, not recognizing that Noah's Ark is actually a picture of Jesus, how they entered the ark and God sealed them in, and then they were saved from the judgment that came with the flood. So like that's consistently what I'm trying to do is, no matter what topic they ask me to teach, I'm trying to point the kids back towards Jesus. I saw a trend in my generation where people would say a prayer at a youth camp or a kids camp, but nothing in their life ever looked like Jesus after that. And then I'd hear these stories of these people in their 20s and 30s saying, man, I don't think I really understood the gospel until later in life. And so I would love to be a catalyst for that not to be the case for these kids, where they actually understand the gospel. I'm not concerned about the number of people that at the end of the week where we can say, here's how many people got saved. What I'm interested in is these kids actually getting a glimpse of Jesus and hearing the gospel, and then hopefully the Spirit leads them putting their faith in Jesus. So no matter what I'm teaching, no matter the topic, that's kind of always my push.
I think that's great. And, you know, it's amazing to me, Micah, because kids are really capable of understanding so much more than we think they are. You know, we tell them the, you know, the stories just like you're talking about, but they are really insightful and they're really able to understand elements that we think maybe they wouldn't. And I think this is a great time also for them to make their faith their own. They are sitting there by themselves in a service, listening to you teach at their level, you know, what they need, meeting their life needs and giving them teaching in a way that's developmentally crafted for them. And I think it's different. Yeah. I mean, it's great to sit in church with your family. I think that's why they need both. It's one thing to sit in church and look and see, okay, mom and dad are here and we're doing this together as a family. But it's another thing to begin to prepare them to take on that faith journey as their own. What does it look like to go to camp by yourself, to walk into a worship service by yourself, to open up your Bible, not with, because your mom and dad are sitting there on the pew telling you to do it, and that's because what you do, they're doing that, and you are helping disciple them, and it's so exciting. One of my favorite moments of Camp Micah is walking into a worship session and hearing children's voices just raised in worship. So, so much more to talk about. When we come back, I want to ask you about that, about worship. And we'll talk about some advice for families who are sending their kids to camp, maybe for the first time, maybe not for the first time, and how church camps have changed over the years and how they've remained the same. And I haven't forgotten about that disc golf. So if you're hanging around for that, we'll have that coming up. We'll be right back with you after this break. Last year, because of you, Preborn's network of clinics saw over 58,000 babies saved. Thank you to all who made this possible. Let's celebrate these precious babies. Daisy and her husband had decided they never wanted kids. And when she found out she was pregnant, she immediately thought abortion. But after she and her husband met her baby on ultrasound and heard the heartbeat, their hearts melted and they chose life. Her baby Jeffrey is healthy and beautiful, and Daisy and her husband can't even imagine life without him. Each of these babies are truly miraculous, and every day, Preborn celebrates 200 miracles. $28 a month can be the difference between the life and death of a child. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection that doubles a baby's chance at life. Let's join together and help mothers choose life. Just dial pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 baby, or visit preborn.com. That's preborn.com. That song definitely makes me want to praise the Lord. I'm telling you, I am a big fan of worship music. That is also one of our 52 habits that we have covered. We covered that habit way back in January. That's way at the top of my list. If you want to change the atmosphere of your home, I am telling you, just put on some praise music. Now, my kids know if I do that on Saturday morning, it means get up, it's cleaning time, it's chore time, and that's what we're going to do, but have some praise music to change our attitudes about it. But there is nothing more inspiring in camp than to see kids praising God without abandon. I mean, with abandon. They just have no self-consciousness, you know, whereas sometimes we as adults have self-consciousness. They just are so expressive, and it always makes me smile as a nurse at camp to walk in and just see these kids jumping around. And that's what we're talking about today, is summer camp. We're talking to Micah Mariano. He's a pastor from West Texas. He's currently the lead pastor of worship and ministries. He's at camp right now. We're going to talk in a little bit about his disc golf ministry, so don't go away for that. But Micah, welcome back. We're so glad to have you here today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Well, you've been both a speaker, Micah, and a worship leader. What is it like to see campers respond during worship?
There's really nothing like it, especially kids camp, like third to sixth graders. Watching these kids sing without abandon is unlike anything else.
It really is. I mean, they're capable of so much more than we think they are. They sing, they know the words. It's just really, really exciting. So what is your goal when you're going in there and you're going to lead these kids? What is your thought process? What's your aim? What do you want them to experience?
Yeah, sure. I think with kids, it's honestly the same as adults. I want to allow them an environment, be a catalyst for them to be able to proclaim the worth of God through song. And so I'm pretty picky about the songs I choose to lead with. I want them to be biblically sound and be God honoring. Even if the song is about something God has done for us, I want it to still be something that the kids understand. This is for the glory of God. So that's always my goal, is giving them a chance to lift up the worth of God through song.
Can you tell us about some of the experiences you've had with different kids, Micah? Maybe some how you see hearts and lives change, the kinds of interactions that you have with them. I think that sometimes, you know, when that's always a hard thing for people when they're going to volunteer in kids ministry or youth ministry, sometimes they think, I just don't know how to have a conversation. But again, kids really, especially in this generation, I find they're craving deep conversation, and it's amazing how much they'll share about what's going on in their life. What's your experience like in having those one-on-one interactions with kids?
Yeah, I think that you're right. There's so much more that kids get than we would probably assume they would. And so I think I think for a long time, like when I was growing up, kids camps were not very deep. And I don't think it needs to be like heavy deep, but I think that because kids can grasp so much more. So I'll have kids now ask me specific questions about songs, like, hey, what's that about? Like even every once in a while, at a summer kids camp, I'll throw in a song that they might not know, something older. Like we did, I don't know how many times I've done this, but we did There Is a Fountain Filled with Blood. It's like a modernized version. And I'll often have kids come up and ask me, like, hey, what is that word? Because I'll keep the words as the song originally was. And so that's fun to, like, watch them catch the words.
Oh, I think that's absolutely true, because there's so many ways that we can convey theology through song. And I heard you say that you're very careful about those songs that you have, because those are truths that we are teaching them. Well, you've been involved in church camps for a long time in ministry there, Micah. Mm-hmm. What have you seen change in kids and in the way that we meet their needs over that time? Because I don't know if you've experienced this, but for me as a pediatric nurse, I mean, I feel like I look back at the way I talked to kids 20 years ago and then what they're facing now, and it's like not even the same. What do you see as different?
Right. Yeah, I'm sure it's way different as far as what the kids can grasp. I'm sure that their exposure over social media and screens to more things, just the internet, has, I'm sure, expanded their vocabulary and what they understand. But one of the things that I like that has changed as far as how camps have gone is, so even when I started doing camps in the early 2000s, most of the kids' camps would want you to do songs that, like, for example, I don't even remember what the song was, like Spring Up a Well, Goosh, 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 Goosh Within My Soul, which I'm not even sure what that goosh, goosh is. We'd always do it like we're milking a cow. I never knew what that was. But that was like the extent of it. And none of these were bad songs. Like, I've Got a River of Life Flowing Out of Me. Like, okay, that's a good one. But they were all fairly, you know, like fairly shallow. And I think what has happened is now we've recognized that kids can actually catch some theology in the songs and sing it and understand it. And are able to do it. And so that's one of the changes I think that's been really good in kids' camps, is they've adjusted with the culture to allow the kids to go a little bit deeper. I'm sure somebody could argue they don't think that's good. But I mean, in my mind, anytime we can point them towards the scriptures in a way that lets them see Jesus more clearly, we're in a good spot. And so I think that's one of the great changes that's happened, is you see more kids' camps and even youth camps now. The directors are bringing in people who will point them towards Jesus rather than just trying to entertain them for a week.
Oh, absolutely. I think that is so important. You know, when we talk about the just demand of this generation to be entertained, I think they need to be engaged so much more than they need to be entertained. Entertainment is just passive and it is passing, but engaging them, engaging their hearts and really meeting them at their point of need. I think every kid today, Micah, I think what they really, really want, if they were really honest, is to be seen, known, and loved. That is what kids are looking for. And that's why the pull of the screen is so hard, because they are seen through their screen. They're seen on social media. They're seen through their text messages. They feel like they're known because they're image crafting on social media, and they're crafting this image that they feel like they want the world to know. But there's something about a camp environment that strips all of that away, because you don't have that smoke screen of image crafting up. There's nobody's Instagram. There's nobody is walking around with a little bubble over their head that says, this kid has 2,789 followers on TikTok, and this kid has... doesn't have TikTok. Like, there's a great equalizer in that, and they're seen for who they are. And I think that's, they want to be known and they want to be loved. We're, none of us are perfect, yeah. Micah. I mean, we're not. And I think that's a safe place for them to share their struggles and to find some hope and to find some help. That's what I see kids getting at camp. And, you know, Mike, I want to ask you, because you're a dad, you're also in the four kids club, which is what I call it, but you have a little more street cred than me because you have four boys. We were just talking about this in the break. My boys are such good boys, but my goodness, when they get together, it's like their destructive energy just is exponential. They're going to blow up something. They're going to like build something. I mean, there's going to be mud somewhere. Like, it's just going to happen. But what has been your experience as a dad and looking at this and sending your kids to camp?
Yeah, it's you're right. Four boys are much different. I actually think it's probably easy. I'm guessing it's easier for me to send my kids to camp as boys. Because, I mean, what's the worst that's going to happen? They're not going to shower. I mean, it's not, there have been times.
That's a very real possibility.
Kids when they were little. Yeah. Which I think happens. I was going to say it happens at home sometimes too. Well, in the summer, we'll be like, hey, when's the last time you took a shower? A few days ago, you know, when they were little. That's changed. It changes with the older ones when they're, I have one that just graduated high school. So obviously the high school kids are a little more conscious of their hygiene than the younger ones. But it, you know, yeah, sending them to camp hasn't ever been a struggle for me. And I think maybe because I'm comfortable with the environment. I mean, it's what I've done for the last 20 plus years. So it's been fun to like watch them go. I'll tell you what stinks as a parent, having done camps as a profession for a while, is actually having to pay to send my kids to camp. Like, that's a little bit brutal.
That is a little bit brutal. I can get that. I can understand that. You know, and I think it is great for boys. Boys, sometimes I think it is a little bit easier for them to go, because you talk about, oh, there'll be canoes, there'll be fishing, and they're like, I'm all in. The girls are like, okay, so is there air conditioning? That's what they want to know. But you know, I think my girls, they have had such a great experience going to camp. And then even after they aged out, they went back and they were sponsors. And they had such a good time looking at that from a different lens. And, you know, I remember when my girls went as sponsors, they came back and they said, you know, that was one of the best experiences we ever had, was being able to see what we experienced and being able to appreciate it. Because when we were in seventh grade, we didn't appreciate, you know, what that was. But they came back and told us, they told me, I see that our children's minister worked so hard to create a safe environment where we could have fun, where we could grow, where we could explore. And again, Micah, let's go back to those parents who are thinking, I don't know. And I think the biggest barrier may not even be the parents not wanting them to go. It's the kids saying, I don't want to go. So what advice would you give to a family sending their kids to camp for the first time? There's going to be so many kids going to camp this summer. And there are a lot of, this is what's going to happen, Micah. There are going to be parents who go to that church parking lot and their kid is going to pull them to the side and say, please don't make me go. Please don't make me go. Just let me get back in the car and go home. What advice would you give them in that transition and then helping them to have a successful camp experience?
Yeah, sure. I think one of the things that parents could do is find out what campsite the kids are going to go to. Pull up on the website what the camp looks like and show them pictures of all the things the camp has. The pictures of the swimming pool, pictures of the Gaga ball pit, like all the things that the camp has that could potentially like give some excitement to the kids about what's going to happen. I think as long as the kids have a visual, that'll help. Another thing is, and I'm sure this is for a lot of kids, they probably feel like they're alone. That's a scary environment to walk into if you're alone. And so maybe if parents had the time, letting their kids meet some other kids that are going to camp beforehand, that way they feel like they're going as a group instead of solo.
I think those are great pieces of advice. And I think parents also just need to radiate confidence, because sometimes our kids can really shake our confidence, right? I mean, they are really good little negotiators and they can get in our heads and they can make us doubt ourselves. And I think that we just can't show that to our kids. We have just got to look at them in the eyes, even if we don't feel it. You know, some people used to say fake it till you make it, but I heard one guest, and I cannot remember for the life of me who it is. So whichever guest you are, I apologize for not attributing this to you, but somebody told me, faith it F-A-I-T-H, faith it till you make it. And I think that's what you have to do, is just have that faith and look them in the eyes and say, I really believe this will be a good experience for you if you'll just give it a try. I'm going to be praying for you. I know you can do hard things. I know you can do this. I know you have fun. I know you'll be safe, and I want you to go. I think that is really important. What can they do at home to help prepare them for the faith experience that they might have? Micah, what are things that they should talk about?
Wow, that's a good question. I think, it's such a vast group of people that come to camp. I know there's kids who have been in church their entire life, and kids, this is their first any kind of spiritual experience. But if you're a family at home that are believers, honestly, I think that camp is this incredibly special environment that's unlike anything else. Like, I'm not sure, even as someone who does it for a living, I'm not sure I could fabricate this environment at home. But what I could do, I think, is kind of what you were talking about earlier, is expose my kids to worship music, expose my kids to, like, the scriptures consistently. And that way it's more comfortable for the kids. One of the most awkward things for kids is when they get to camp and they don't know any of the stuff. They don't know the songs. They don't know, they're not sure how they're supposed to act when we gather for worship, those kind of things. So I think the more comfortable kids can be in that environment, the less of a stressor it'll be when they get to camp.
I think that is true. It can be really hard because you've got kids all over different walks of life. You know, kids who are in church every time the doors are open, and sometimes even when they're not. And then you have kids, like you said, that this may be their next, their first church experience. And I think it's important, Micah, for parents to say, hey, I know that you are going to have some new experiences this week. I know you're going to see some things that you haven't seen before, or hear some things that you may not know what to deal with. And identifying a safe person at that camp, just saying, hey, you know, if it's the children's pastor or whoever it is, their sponsor that they're connected to, say, if anything happens, you go talk to this person. I think identifying that person is really, really helpful. And then telling them, I want to talk to you about these things when we get home. And then, you know, it's so hard because this is what happens. I know I've been on that bus where bus ride out to camp is always noisy, loud, chaotic. And the bus ride back, they're all like tranquilized. They're so tired, and they haven't slept very well. Maybe they haven't showered. They get off the bus, and then the parents are like, what happened? I want to know everything in the next 30 seconds. You know, tell me everything about your camp experience. So I would encourage parents on that pickup experience just to give them a big hug. Tell them, I missed you. This is where we missed you. We're so glad that you're back. And then just let them tell at their own pace. Let them go home. Have some food to eat that isn't, I told you this during the break, Micah, that isn't Slim Jims, gummy bears, milk, and Sprite. Yeah, that did not end up well. I had a kiddo that was sick. I'm like, no wonder that you're sick. Give them some nutritious food. Let them have a nap. Let them have some space. And then over the next week, look for opportunities to talk about their experience. Say, tell me about this. Tell me about that. And we'll talk more about that when we come back. When we come back, I'm going to ask Micah about his sports ministry and disc golf, and we'll talk about his kids being a light in their school. Don't go away. We'll be right back on the other side of this break.
When you hear this...
This is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
Hey, man, what are you doing?
I'm just lying here relaxing in a stream. I call it streaming.
Okay, you know that word already has another meaning, right?
AFA Streaming offers free and subscription video content. Titles like By Design, The God Who Speaks, and Asbury Revival, Desperate for More. You'll also find video versions of AFR programs. Visit AFA.net and click on streaming.
Welcome back, friends. Oh, I love that song. It's really, really hard to cut that off. I would love for it to keep on going. If you've listened to that song before, it ends with glory to his name. I'm a hymns girl. I'm really kind of old-fashioned. I love, love, love hymns. So it's like the best of both worlds. But we actually are talking to Micah Mariano today. He is a pastor from West Texas. He is one of the founding pastors of the 456 Church in San Angelo. He is serving as a camp pastor this week and leading worship. And we actually talked about this in segment two, that song that was just played, Thank You, Jesus, for the Blood Applied. Kids want to know about that. What does that mean? What a great opportunity to point them to the sacrifice that Christ made for them so they can have eternal life. Micah, you and I are having a great conversation about camp. I hope we have convinced every parent everywhere to send their kid to camp. And, you know, I just want to say to the parents out there listening, if you are thinking finances are just not a possibility for me, don't be afraid to reach out to your church and ask, because there are a lot of times where churches will provide scholarships. And of course, I can't make that guarantee, but I'm just saying, if you need to put that request out there and ask on behalf of your kid, I know that it could be a possibility for you. So don't let that be a barrier. Talk to somebody who could help you if that's something that's keeping you from sending your kid to camp. So Micah, we're just about wrapped up. I do want to ask you about your sports ministry, but I want to have one more word of encouragement. We talked about the campers. I want to talk about volunteers. Camps take a lot of volunteers. You've got to go, and it is not an easy job, even for you as worship leader, especially for me as a nurse. I can tell you it is the hardest I've ever worked for free in my life. But, you know, you're talking no sleep, you're talking no showers, you know, where the boys and sometimes the girls don't take showers in that preteen age. You might have camp food. It's tough stuff. But what is the benefit? What is the encouragement to invest your time in kids this summer at a camp?
Yeah, I think there's probably not anything that could be more rewarding than to see just a big group of kids, like you said earlier, together proclaiming the words of God. I mean, if you're talking about like refreshment for the soul, I mean, watching a generation that has a tendency to go off the rails, as at least that's how media portrays them, to see a pocket of kids in the midst of all the chaos come together for a week and proclaim the greatness of God together, and watching God change lives and being able to be part of that, I'm not sure if there's anything more rewarding to spend your time doing.
I completely agree. And there's a need for people with all kinds of skill sets. And Micah, I think back to that camp that we were at the same time. And, you know, I was working in the little medic's house. I was being the nurse for the week. And we had actually, there was a nurse who had served before me for years and years and years. And she got cancer and she passed away the first year that I came to camp. Her husband had served beside her all of that time. Now, he was very elderly. He was not very mobile. His name was John. John was the most precious soul, Micah. What he would do was he would sit in a chair in my waiting room and he would entertain the kids in line. He would tell them jokes. He would make balloon animals. He would look for those kids that needed attention. He would tell me, hey, this kid has been in here three times. He's sitting in the corner. He's sad. It was such a great gift, because you would think, okay, this guy, what is he going to be able to do? He can barely walk. Well, he sat in a chair and we found a place for him to serve. It was really, really precious. And I think about so many different kinds of volunteers who come, you know, and some of them are funny. Some of them are serious. Some of them are a little bit scary. And you know what? Kids need a little bit of that today, right? You know, like they need the little drill sergeant type that's going to make sure their room is clean. We had one time that, I mean, they made sure their kids were going to win the cleanest cabin award. And so I think no matter, you might be thinking, I don't know if I'm the camp type. Everybody is the camp type. You can go and you can serve for a week. So I encourage you to do that. And you know, Mike, at camp, there are a lot of sports. Now, I'm going to be really honest with you right now. Sports is not my thing. I enjoy it. I do. But I'm not good at it at all. And but that is something that kids love. And there is a space for everybody. So I would love for you to tell us about your sports ministry.
Absolutely. Yes. I started playing disc golf in 2004 and realized really quickly this was a pocket of sports that there wasn't a lot of Jesus in. So in 2004, I prayed and just said, God, I'm asking you to use me in the biggest venue possible to reach this culture of disc golf with the gospel, to lift up Jesus. And it was many years later, I got connected with this ministry called Eagle's Wings Disc Golf. A friend of mine named Dustin Leatherman had started. And they asked me to come on in at the end of 2019 to help kind of push along their tour ministry, the ministry they were doing on the Disc Golf Pro Tour. So I jumped on board. And in essence, what we did is we planted a church on the Disc Golf Pro Tour. So now we have, at all the Pro Tour stops, we have a worship service usually on Thursday nights. The pros that are believers on tour meet together. They have a small group that usually meets on Tuesday nights. We've got pockets of those pros on tour that are like meeting for breakfast and coffee to like study the word together. They're specifically this year like playing practice rounds with pros that don't know Jesus, just to continue to develop those relationships. So we in essence planted a church on the pro tour. And so I'll be at about 10 of the pro tour stops this year, kind of headed up that ministry and doing the chapel services that are on tour.
That is fantastic. And, you know, really something I'm sure you probably didn't see coming, Micah. You didn't think, oh, this is what I'm going to do. But how has that impacted your faith? And how has that impacted your journey as a dad? You know, you've got four boys who are watching you do this. What has that been like?
Lots of fun. I think my kids are, my older three kids are all athletes. Sadly, only two of them play disc golf. I know
that's usually how it works.
My 9-year old, my youngest is, I think he's the artist. I'm not sure he's going to be the athlete. And then my junior in high school is just not interested in golf at all and disc golf at all. So, but it's been fun for them, or for me to see them like, connect with some of the pros who love Jesus. They'll watch them. They have a disc golf network. You can watch live disc golf. So it's still growing, but there's a lot of exposure. And so they'll see these pros who have stayed at our house winning on the Disc Golf Pro Tour and seeing how like that life on life relationship kind of ministry we've begun with these pros, like the impact it has. And I think what's going to happen is my hope is that that will be something they carry on into adulthood, is that they'll recognize the benefit of developing relationships with people and doing life with them, and how that can impact ministry.
I think that's so great, Micah. And you know, what I hear today a lot is that it's a terrible time to raise kids, you know, and people say this all the time. Oh, I'm so glad I didn't grow up in this era. I'm so glad I'm done with parenting. And I think, okay, that's not an encouraging message for those of us who are in the middle of it. But like you said, in a culture gone off the rails, it's really encouraging to see these pockets of you know, just revival happening, really. And when I think about your journey as a dad, I know that your boys go to public school, and we love to talk to our listeners about really making the most of whatever education setting is best for their family. So how have you and your wife helped your kids maintain a biblical worldview and be a light in their school?
Yeah, there's been one specific thing that we've done, which I've honestly taken a lot of flack for. We never set up, this is our personal preference, but we never set up any kind of moral structure for them. What I mean is, like, when I dropped my kids off in middle school, I never said, don't smoke, don't drink, don't cuss. What I did is every day before school, we would pray And either I would pray this or the boys would pray this, and we would pray, God, may I honor you in everything I do today. And so I just tried to shape their perspective of life to where their mindset was, I want to honor Jesus in every decision I make. And I think that has been honestly very helpful for them. And public school is a rough place. And it was, you know, the decision we made for a lot of reasons as to why they went to public school. I'll say this, I would pull them out in a heartbeat if there was something I was uncomfortable with in our particular schools. I think that mindset of making every decision for the glory of Jesus kept them in the right mindset, kept them in the right perspective.
You know, I think that's really important, Micah. And as you heard me talk about at the top of the program, I've been challenging my listeners this year to engage in 52 habits for healthy families or healthy parenting. And one of those is daily rhythms and having a morning ritual. And what you're talking about is just something so simple, but sometimes it's not easy to do. But just having that moment where you pray with them when you drop them off at school every day, I feel like we feel like it has to be some grand gesture, but it doesn't. It's just those simple daily acts of faith. And the other thing that I love about what you're saying, Micah, is flipping the perspective, because so often we adopt this, what I call fear-based parenting, where we're, don't do this, don't do that, stay away from this. And we're giving them all of these limitations instead of empowering them. And so, say, what did you say again? How did you pray it? Say it one more time.
God, may I honor you in everything I do today. Like every decision I make, may it be for the glory of you.
I mean, that is to have that playing over their head and over their heart space all day, every day, to hear the voice of their father saying, may I honor you in everything I do, thinking, is this honoring to God or is this not? Because there's so many new threats. There's just always something new that they're going to encounter. Yep. And looking at it from that perspective, that is so important. And you're in the same stage of parenting as I am, Micah. We're starting to launch our kids into the world. What has it been like for you to see that happen and to see the fruit of seeds that you planted so long ago when they were little and now having that come to fruition? Because I think there are a lot of people who think, is the world going to you-know-where in a handbasket? You know, like, is this just, are there kids out there who love Jesus? What has that been like in your family?
Yeah, I sometimes feel a little guilty because I feel like I haven't done a lot, but I think one of the things that was beneficial for my kids is making them have that perspective. Hey, the goal is to honor Jesus with your entire life. So my oldest son is leaving for college this fall. And he loves Jesus. I keep catching him reading like C.S. Lewis books on his own, not because he has to, but just because he wants to. And I don't think that's me parenting. I don't think I'm a phenomenal parent who put my kids in this great place. I think I just pointed them towards Jesus and let God continue to work in their life in that way.
I think that is so important. I am constantly telling my kids, hey, I am not perfect, but I know someone who is. And just showing them that and seeing the fruit of that is really exciting. You know, I think about one of my sons asked me for a Bible this year for Christmas, and he wanted a Bible that he could write in, like a journaling Bible. And so I got him one. And actually, one day, it was not too long into January, I was about to do the radio show and I wanted to look up a verse in a Bible. I knew he kept his on his nightstand, so I went to go get it. And I thought, oh, this must be the wrong Bible because this one's all written in. And I started opening the pages. I could not believe what he had written in just 3 weeks. And so I think so many times, Micah, that as parents, we try to control our kids' behavior because that gives us an immediate feedback loop of we're doing a good job as a parent, when really we need to be directing their hearts, setting them up for grace, saying you will mess up, you will encounter challenges, but there is a God who loves you. There's a God who restores, who redeems, who makes all things new, who gives you new mercies every morning. And I think just living them out with them, living that out with them every day, that's what it's all about. Well, I'd love to give you the last word here, Micah, and just any last words of encouragement for parents out there today.
Absolutely, yeah. I think that we shouldn't be scared to be parents today. I would rather be a parent today than in the Old Testament when Israel's stuck in Jerusalem and they're having to eat each other's kids. I think this is a better environment than that. So stop saying that. And I'll tell you this, Jesus hasn't changed. He's been the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if our goal is to be good stewards of the gift that God has given us in our kids and raise them with the perspective that everything they do is for the glory of God, then they will be the ones who, no matter how crazy the world gets, that can be the light. I'm so excited about this generation, our kids' generation, because I see so many kids today who have a zeal and passion for Jesus that is insatiable. So I think God's going to do some incredible things in this generation. I think as parents, we should be excited about the things God's going to be doing through our kids.
Amen, amen, and amen. We need more voices like yours who are speaking words of hope and speaking words of light in news cycles that seem to say the opposite. I agree, Micah. I am so excited for this generation. I do see kids who are passionate about serving God and loving others, and that is really exciting to me. Well, you have heard it right here. If you're thinking about sending your kids to camp, really, I encourage you to just take the plunge and just do it. Talk to the leaders that are going. Make sure that all of your questions are answered, that you feel confident that they're going to be safe, they're going to be loved, they're going to be nurtured well. And I think it is just one of the greatest experiences that kids can have today in a world that's saturated with screens. Have them go off the grid for a week. It's great. Well, thank you so much, Micah, for joining us. If you want to connect with Micah about having him come to your camp, just feel free to email us here at AFR or at info@drnursemama.com, and we'll be glad to connect you. And in the meantime, may the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you. And we'll see you here next time, prescribing hope for healthy families.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.